Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we got a great show for you tonight. Ravens and Bills win. The college football final is set, and the Steelers have some decisions to make. But we'll begin today's show with last night's game. The Vikings playing the Rams in Arizona. The Vikings lost 27-9 last night against the Rams and were bounced from the playoffs. Sam Darnold was sacked 9 times. Threw one interception and had a fumble return for a touchdown.
Ugh.
But it's safe to say Sam was largely inefficient. Many Vikings fans are complaining that the Vikings should have had a home playoff game. They had a better winning percentage than the Rams, and they only lost two teams all season. So we will get to the game in a moment, but what are your thoughts on the Vikings being a 2 or 3 seed instead of being a 5 seed?
First and foremost, let's shout out the reason why it was in Arizona is because of the issues in California with the wildfires. And we just want to give a shout out to all the first responders out there who are doing their best to contain that fire and make sure that people can go back to their homes. So people have lost a lot. There's been a lot of devastation. And we just want you to know that you are in our thoughts. So hopefully things can be normalized quickly and you guys can go back to your livelihoods, or you can start rebuilding the life that you lost in the fire. As far as the game goes, I mean, you said it yourself last week. The receding thing is nonsense. You said it yourself. They didn't win the division. You didn't win the division. That's not a perk. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Charlie. Adios, muchacho. You go on the road. Now, you do have players like Amon-Ra St. Brown is on record. You have a few people who are saying that, hey, maybe it should be receded. The NBA has been calling for that forever. The NHL has kind of done it to a degree, but if you were to do that, right? If you were to abandon all seeding for division champions, what's the point of winning the division? Exactly. Other than making the playoffs?
Right.
Right. So at that point, you're only playing for home field advantage, a bye week, the first week. You still lost week 18 to the Lions. You still lost. And you lost to this very team that you lost to last night. So I don't want to hear any of that shit right now. So that ship has sailed. It's over. It's done with. We're moving on. As far as the game goes, Sam looked like Sam. Sam looked like his old self again.
How much money did he cost himself last night?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, he doesn't have that money in hand. But if you're on the Baker deal, like, you know, you and Danny are both on record saying that the Baker deal is a way to go. I don't think he's touching 30. I don't think he's doing that. And you know, Baker's lucky because, you know, the two fumbles.
Franchise tag would give him about 40, 43.
Insane, dude. 1 year, $43 million for Sam Darnold.
That's what the franchise tag would do.
Yeah. So I don't think they would do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think last night just kind of solidified a Baker deal, right? It's like you're not going to get a long-term deal anymore like that. The last 3 weeks have just been... Well, actually, no, just the last 2 weeks, right? It was just the Lions and this last week.
I'm not even sure about the 3 for 90. I think it might be like 3 for 75. I'd be comfortable with 3 for 60. Like, for his, it's 1 year. It's one year.
Right, but you got to think a team. You got to think a team like the Browns, like the Giants, like a team that really needs a quarterback is going to say, okay, you're not going to get the five-year deal, but we'll bring you in here as a bridge, and that'll be 30 mil. Somebody's going to do that. I mean, you can't. I would be the Steelers. How about the Steelers? How about the Steelers for him?
Steelers would be interesting.
And that's really just basically because he's young and he showed this year that he's coachable. You know, last night was reverting back to like the Zach Wilson shit, like running backwards. Where are you going? There was a time when they were on the 30-yard line. This motherfucker starts running backwards and then he gets sacked. This dude, you can't take 9 sacks in the football game. I don't care how bad your offensive line is. You got to throw the ball away. I played two-hand touch on Sunday and I fucking threw the ball away 3 times.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody who's open. I'm not going to just throw it up. I'm not going to take the sack and just throw it in the fucking ground.
That's it.
Whatever.
Have we learned nothing from Tom Brady?
And Peyton was great at that. Just throw it in the ground. Just throw it. Once you get out of the pocket, just make it to the line of scrimmage.
That's all you got to do.
You're running. And then you're standing there. Like, how much time do you think you have? Like, and then the other part is some of this goes on Kevin O'Connell. Because, dude, where's the quick slant?
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Where's the screen? What are we doing? You keep... After the third sack, stop doing 7-step dropbacks. They're getting to you. I know their defensive line is shit, but they're getting to you. And we're losing. Right. Let's start running the football.
Like, 18 carries for 87 yards from his primary running backs. Now, Sam Darnold had another 19 on top of that. So, combined 106.
Right.
So, that's not the recipe for winning football. That's just not the recipe. It is when you're behind. Sam's going to have to start chucking it to get back into this game. But you need to be balanced.
I think there was one play before the end of the half where they're on the far hash and he throws a comeback or an out to the far hash. It's like, dude, don't throw that ball. He's all over him. He's sitting on this route. He's waiting for it. And he threw the pick. That was the one he threw the pick on.
Yeah. You know, let's give a little credit to DC Chris Shula. You know, they came with a game plan ready to go to fluster Sam Darnold, to get in his kitchen and make him think about it. Bill Belichick was on the Manning cast. His ass was grinning from ear to fucking ear. He's like, I remember this Sam Darnold. I created this Sam Darnold. I know what this looks like. This game's over. And we talked about Brian Flores having an impact. Yeah, no. Nil. Absolutely nil. It was Chris Shula who showed up with the game plan to make that happen. But, I mean, overall, it was just a piss-poor performance all around by the Vikings. I mean, the guys who were supposed to be the guys for you did not post. You know, Justin Jefferson, 5 for 58. Jordan Addison, 3 for 29. Like Aaron Jones, we already mentioned, 13 for 48 yards.
But I'm not putting that on them.
No, it starts with the game plan executed by Sam or lack thereof. So it's just proving again that the Vikings are paper tigers. They're not where...
Oh, that's a little harsh. I think Sam had an incredible year. I mean, only losing 3 games all year is an amazing accomplishment for what he's been through. Okay? And, you know, he reverted back to some of his old ways last night. And what it just tells me is it's not the ups and the downs. It's just that he's not a big game quarterback, right? Come on, even Aaron Rodgers didn't show up in the big games, right? And Aaron Rodgers didn't show up like in the NFC Championship games or the NFC Divisional games. Sam couldn't get through the wild card game.
No.
You know, even if this game was played in Minnesota, the outcome would have been the same. He's got an incredible ensemble around him as far as skilled positions are concerned. Yes, I think the offensive line isn't the best. They're not 9 sacks bad, but, you know, I would say that he reverted back to the he's good enough to get you beat. But I will say that he can play quarterback in the National Football League. I do think he's a starter. I don't think he's a backup. I think he is a starter. But he needs a lot of things around him to go right for him to be successful. He's not going to win with B-level receivers. He's not going to win with a C-level running back. He's definitely not going to win with a degraded offensive line.
Which is why the Steelers is not a good fit for him. He's got a B-plus tight end. He has no wide receiver to speak of. George Pickens ain't it.
I'm talking about a bridge. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be the Steelers quarterback for the next 5 years. I'm talking about he's a bridge quarterback.
No, but in the moment, as the roster is presently constructed, he's going to get his ass kicked. Like, he's going to a situation that is not great offensively. Like, yeah. Kevin O'Connell, you replaced Kirk Cousins.
What about the Colts? Could he be? Because they have a running back. They have a B-level wide receiver. They actually do have a good offensive line. Their offensive line is good. They have a good defense. It's a shit division, right?
They can win that next year.
So maybe that's a good place for him because Anthony Richardson is not the guy.
No.
That's not happening. Fetch is not happening.
No, it is not happening for him.
But, you know, arguably the most exciting game all weekend was the Commies downing the Bucks in Tampa Baker with a last second field goal. Ka-dunk.
Mm.
1 year after Snyder sold the team, they drafted a franchise quarterback, hired a winning coach, won a playoff game, and are really one of the most exciting teams to watch this year. So is there one thing that's led to the Commies' success this year, or is it everything that's come together?
They're going to point. People will point. They, capital T-H-E-Y, are going to point to Jaden Daniels. And rightfully so. And rightfully so. He's had a monster year. He's probably going to get his fair share of Rookie of the Year votes.
Oh, and your boy Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator.
Future head coach of the Chicago Bears, Cliff Kingsbury? Yeah. Yeah. So it's part and parcel. Yes, you needed Jaden Daniels. Taylor Heinicke was not going to deliver the goods. Like, he wasn't going to be able to be the architect of this turnaround, right? Jaden Daniels is dynamic. He is a leader. He is unflappable under pressure. So, yes, it's him. But it's also bringing in, like, an Austin Eckler, right? You're loading this team up with a veteran presence. Yes, Austin Eckler was on the Chargers. The Chargers are underachievers. It's who they are in their DNA. But Austin Eckler knows what it's like to be on a consistent winning team. He knows what it takes to consistently win. Adding a guy like Zaccheaus, right? Zaccheaus was kind of like an also-ran with the Falcons. Just kind of like there. And he's playing a critical role. So kudos to their GM. He took that situation and he brought in key veterans who clearly still have stuff in the tank. They still have some juice left, like Bobby Wagner. I know you're not the biggest Bobby Wagner fan, but he's playing his ass off right now. And he's got a little bit left, right? They went and they got Lattimore. Lattimore did not have a great game. He was very much laser focused on trying to shut down Mike Evans. So, like, that was to his detriment. But it's a true team effort. And getting rid of Ron Rivera and bringing in Dan Quinn was certainly a step in the right direction because the team seems to respond to Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn seems to be a leader of men, right? He gets players to do what they need to do. Lest we forget, Dan Quinn was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons when they had that 28-3 lead against the Patriots. And then it went all to shit. But they were there, and he was the head coach. So he has the jam to get them there. Daniels has the ability. Can they keep him upright? Can they keep him healthy? That's the question. Because everybody and their mother is going to be looking at him, and they're going to wait for him to fall apart like RG3 did. They have to keep him upright. He's got to put on muscle. He's got to strengthen his legs. And he has to make sure that he's maturing as a quarterback. Because RG3 never got that opportunity.
Yeah.
And they got set back by it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Dan Quinn fan. I think Dallas really missed out an opportunity for him to coach there. And I do. I put the majority of the success this year to Dan Quinn. I think even if Snyder was still around and they hired Dan Quinn, they would still have the success that they're having. I mean, they have good players at their skilled positions.
Yeah.
And Dan Quinn knows how to coach defense. He's getting pressure with four. He's got his guys playing for him. He's got his guys playing four quarters, you know, regardless of who they're playing. Jaden Daniels is a nice addition. He's a rookie quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. That's huge. That's huge. And he has a confidence and a bravado about him that everybody feels comfortable getting behind. This is similar to what Stroud had last year. So now the question is can you keep this going, dude? Like, can you not have a sophomore slump? Can you stay healthy? I don't know if he can.
Why I think he's got a better shot than C.J. Stroud did coming into this year. C.J. Stroud was also coupled with the rookie head coach in D'Amico Ryans, right? Dan Quinn is a veteran presence, and he can be a steadying force.
But they're going to lose Cliff Kingsbury.
Maybe.
They're going to lose him.
Maybe.
They're going to lose him. He's going to get a head coaching nod after what he did with a rookie quarterback. Like you said, Chicago's going to be interested. You're telling me that the Jaguars wouldn't be interested? Like, of course they are.
I don't know, man. We got to think about this because Mike McCarthy's now available and he is – they're laser focused. The Bears are laser focused in on Mike McCarthy. Now, whether or not he gets the job, I don't know. But they're hell-bent on getting an interview with him. Johnston, Aaron Glenn. Like, Aaron Glenn's a defensive mind. But, like, these are the hot names right now. Cliff Kingsbury might be entering the chat a little too late. And – you know, he does have that history with Arizona that he needs to discuss. He needs to talk about why they always get out to hot starts but couldn't close. Like, that's something that's going to dog him, and I hope he's prepared for that question in the interview.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there were a number of things that led to it, the success of the Commies this year, but the main thing was Dan Quinn. But How about Baker Mayfield? I mean, what the fuck happened in this game? I mean, I think he was 15 for 18, 185 yards, two touchdowns. You let rookie Jaden Daniels come in and beat you in your house. I think Jaden Daniels had like 268 yards, two touchdowns. Like, what happened to the Buccaneers? Because that is a super talented team. I think Rashad White only had one carry for 1 yard.
Yes, sir.
Bucky Irving didn't really get going.
Bucky Irving's taking that job, though. He's the bell cow back, 17 for 77. But still, that's not a great showing by a Bucky Irving and the Tampa Bay running game. But, you know, Baker was off. Baker was absolutely off. And then it points to those two moments, right? The fumble, which he led the league in fumbles. He was tied with Kirk Cousins.
He led the league in interceptions, too, right?
He was tied with Kirk Cousins. So not a guy you want to be tied with in terms of any kind of statistic this year. This year, you don't want to be tied with Kirk Cousins with anything.
That's another guy that's hitting the open market.
Right. So there's going to be competition all over the place, whether it's Kirk Cousins, whether it's Sam Darnold. There's going to be plenty of room. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, I'm sure. So there's going to be plenty of chairs available. I don't know, in this game of musical chairs, who's going to... you know, who eventually is going to not have a seat. But with Baker, that fumble is a problem. And then the botch snap. What the hell was that? Like, was it... I couldn't tell. And no one could give me, like, a clear explanation. I'm listening to the analysis of it. And was it an RPO gone wrong? Was it a bad snap? Like, what was it? Because it's a rookie center. He has a rookie center right now because I think Jensen's hurt. So was it just did he just snap on the wrong count? Like, what the hell was that? Because it totally threw off the play. It threw off the rhythm of everything, and it totally set them back. And ultimately, it led to their demise because, you know, the next series, Zane Gonzalez kicks the game-winning field goal. So, yeah, I don't know. As emotional as last week was for the Bucks and for Baker Mayfield, they just seemed off. They weren't flat by any means because they came to play. The defense in particular, they looked stout. But starting with Baker, it just didn't click. So you got to wonder. Also, Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator, you know, is he able to compartmentalize? Because he's another hot candidate. It was his attention divided, right? Was he able to do what he needed to do to prepare for his future, but also keep an eye on the present? Because, I mean, this was the game of the week, easily the most, you know, the most competitive of the bunch. But in reality, the Buccaneers are very talented and could easily have won this game if a couple of things broke their way. But just it just seemed completely off.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1515. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547.
But speaking of off, you know what was off? The Steelers offense. Shocker. Tell me when you heard that one before. The Pittsburgh Steelers got beat down by the Baltimore Ravens 28-14 on Saturday. The Ravens ran for almost 300 yards on the proud Steeler defense. TJ Watt had as many tackles as you and I did, and they could not stop the Ravens whatsoever. So people are coming for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has not won a playoff game since 2016, and there are many question marks surrounding the team, the organization, his future, and the Steeler way in general. Is it time for the Steelers to move on from Mike Tomlin?
I think so. I mean, you're talking about they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. They've been one and done in the playoffs the last 5 years. I mean, in the time since 2016, Dan Quinn has brought the Falcons to the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, and gotten a win with the Commies in the playoffs. Like all the, and Dan Quinn went to the Cowboys for a few years. Like, that's all happened while the Steelers have been just sitting on Mike Tomlin. You know, hey, listen, the Eagles got rid of Andy Reid. They brought in Doug Peterson and they quickly won a Super Bowl. And Andy Reid went to Kansas City and he's won, what, 3 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just time. It's just time. How about hiring Mike McCarthy? He's a Pittsburgh guy. He's from Pittsburgh.
He is a Pittsburgh guy. That's true.
Pittsburgh guy, you know? I mean, I think I read something somewhere where TJ Watt hasn't recorded a stat in 193 snaps.
That's not a sack. That's a stat.
A stat. He hasn't done anything. He's on the field and he hasn't done anything.
We call that a decoy.
Not an assist. And somebody was trying to tell me, well, it's because, you know, offenses are, you know, kind of focusing on taking him out of the game. Well, it's working. They're losing. So what does that tell you? Like, dude, you can't tip a pass. You can't get an assist on a sack. You can't trip somebody up. I mean, geez. It got to the point in the Baltimore game where they're like, fuck it. Don't even hand it off to Derrick Henry. Just let him just snap the ball right to him. We're running to the left. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Patrick Queen wanted no part of that. And he was like, oh, great. They're just downhill the whole game. Yeah, I think it's just time. I mean, they botched the whole thing with Kenny Pickett. You're in a situation where you don't have a quarterback right now. Next year, not this year, but next year is the heavy quarterback draft. So you bring in a new coach this year and he sucks it up. It's all right because next year you get to pick the quarterback you want. Probably have a top five, top ten pick. I just, and they're talking about maybe somebody should trade for them. Maybe Chicago should trade for Mike Tomlin. I mean, you could, it's not a bad thing. I think with a young quarterback in Chicago, you should bring in an offensive guy. You know, we've seen this before with the Jets. You know, they had young quarterbacks and they brought in defensive players, defensive coaches. That doesn't really work for a young quarterback.
No.
You brought in Adam Gase, but Adam Gase, no. I mean, we clearly know that Peyton Manning was behind all the success of Adam Gase. So I would say, you know, if you want to bring in a Mike McCarthy to Chicago, that makes sense. But if you wanted to bring in a Ben Johnson or maybe even a Terry Glenn to Pittsburgh and start over, like, I think it's just time to start over. He's been there 20 years. I mean,
yeah.
What more do you need?
In his 17 years, in his 17 seasons as Steelers coach, he's 183, 107, and 2. And the last few years, it's been nothing but controversy regarding the offense. Go back to when Ben was there, right? Matt Canada. Yeah. Is the whole fucking thing, right? AB was pissed off. Chase Claypool was pissed off. Juju, they've run guys out of there. Le'Veon Bell got run out of there. Like, the culture, right? The culture, the air quote culture, is changing with those guys getting moved out, right? Oh, things are, you know, fine. Brought in Deontay Johnson. You brought in George Pickens. That doesn't seem to be changing things. Okay, fine. Fuck it. We're going to get rid of Matt Canada. We blame Canada. We're going to get rid of him. You brought in Arthur Smith. That doesn't seem to be helping either. Yes, Warren and Harris were each 1,000-yard rushers.
Were they really?
Last year.
Oh,
this year,
impressive.
Not so much. Right? This is a system. Arthur Smith, he's another guy, right? Yeah, he looks really great when you're handing off to Derek fucking Henry. Right? Derrick Henry, I hope Arthur Smith sent Derrick Henry a Christmas card every year he was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, because Derrick Henry got that motherfucker that job. The same way that if Todd Monken ever gets a head coaching job, or if he gets a head coaching job after this cycle, he better hit his knees and thank the Lord Jesus that Derrick Henry was in the backfield making his ass look good. Because at the beginning of the year, they forgot he was on the team. Like, how the fuck do you bring in Derrick Henry then not use him? I don't understand that. It's mind-boggling to me. So the Steelers are kind of in an identity crisis at this point. They want to hold on to what made them great, right? The Chuck Knoll to Bill Cowher, Bill Cowher to Mike Tomlin. Emphasis on defense, do just enough to win. That doesn't fly anymore, unfortunately. Like, barely squeaking by, barely hanging on, survival doesn't get you success, ultimate success, championship success. It gets you perennially in the playoffs. You're perennially in the mix, which is great. That's great for the fans. You get to go and wave your terrible towels. You get to go and have, you know, a nice event, but you're not going anywhere year after year. since 2016, it's we're back to the drawing board. We're going to look at it, and we're going to figure out how to fix it in the totality, to use a favorite Tomlinism, the totality. Well, yeah. The totality is you're a very good defense, but your offense ain't worth all – it's not worth 10 cents a pound.
I mean, right. The truth of the matter is right, they did make the playoffs, and that's great. But, I mean, I would argue that they're probably the third best team in that division, right? I mean, I would put Cincinnati Bengals talent ahead of the Pittsburgh talent, wouldn't you?
I would. The problem with that, Cincinnati could very well be in the playoffs if they didn't start out, what, 1-4? If they didn't have to dig themselves out of that hole? If you don't lose to New England in week one? Like, maybe we're having a different conversation.
Yeah, it literally was the difference of the New England Patriots hitting the number one pick overall and Bengals making the playoffs. Every game counts in the NFL, not like other sports.
Unlike college.
Unlike college. But the Ravens win, the Bills win, sets up an epic game for Sunday night at 6 o'clock. If you're a sports fan, that's going to be the game to watch. The Ravens will travel to Buffalo to play the Bills, with the winner heading to the AFC Championship game, likely playing Chiefs. Both teams play defense. Both teams run the ball. Buffalo runs the ball this year. Why Joe Brady might get a head coaching job. And both teams do not have a star wide receiver. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So will the last team with the ball win the game this weekend? Is that what it's going to come down to? Z, is Lamar Jackson an elite quarterback?
It's a very loaded question. He's a very good quarterback. I wouldn't necessarily put him in...
What makes him very good? Why you say he's very good?
He can deliver the ball when it needs to, where it needs to be delivered. He protects the ball for the most part. He's mobile.
Think he's a good passer?
He's a decent passer. He's not a long ball passer. He's if you want him to deliver the long ball, that's not him. That's not what he does. His job is very... He would be akin to a West Coast quarterback. Dink, dunk, short. But effective. Short.
I think it's interesting that of all the teams remaining this weekend, they all have quarterbacks. Like, top tier quarterbacks. Like, no fringes. There's no the Baker Mayfields. There's no Sam Darnolds. Everybody here has a quarterback.
The only
quarterback that's been to an AFC Championship game, a quarterback that's been in a Super Bowl, a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl, a franchise quarterback that's starting to bring him, he's getting there.
Right, well, the jury's still out on Stroud. The jury's still out on Daniels, because it's only Stroud's second year and it's only Daniels' first year. But the
playoffs in a row, right? Stroud made the playoffs last year too, right?
Yes. My issue is, it sucks that we're getting this matchup in the divisional round. You can't really do anything about it, but that's the part that blows. But the winner of this most likely gets Mahomes. So most that likely. Is most likely. Anything can happen. Like the Chiefs are not, you know, they're not world beaters. They got by on luck.
They are the champs.
But we said multiple times that they got by on luck and guile rather than steamrolling and talent. So there's definitely a little bit of a sea change there. So any team can be had, and it wouldn't surprise me. And I think most of America had the Houston Texans going down to the Chargers. And the Chargers looked like absolute dog shit. So
we'll get to that.
We will get to that. But, you know, like the Texans came to play after seemingly, a two-month nap. So
somebody told me that the top four quarterbacks are all in the AFC.
I agree. I concur.
Lamar at four, right?
Of the top four, I would put him at four. I would put Stroud at five. Burrow would be in the top five.
Right, right. Because it's Mahomes, it's Allen.
It's Burrow. And it's Jackson.
And it's Jackson.
Yeah. So, but Stroud could definitely be in there. The last team with the ball, I think there will be a defensive stand at the end. I think that, I mean, the Buffalo defense is surprisingly stout, right? They're starting to get healthy. Milano's back. Von Miller's back. They're getting healthy, and they're getting whole at the right time. The Ravens have been solid all year. And I don't want to put this out there, but this would be the worst possible time for Justin Tucker to go through his funk again. Like, that would be the worst possible thing. So,
and Buffalo's a tough place to kick.
It is. It's cold. It's windy. Pittsburgh. It's going to be like kicking a
Pittsburgh
rock.
Pittsburgh and Buffalo are the two toughest places to kick.
But if anybody, if you figure anybody can do it, it's Justin Tucker, because he's been doing it for years. This year feels like an anomaly, but we've seen enough of it that it's definitely an issue. I mean, shit, Jake Elliott missed the other day too. He missed a chip shot. So lots of good kickers are having really crap years. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was a defensive stand at the last at the gun. And I gotta say, like, this is a very even matchup. I'm narrowly leaning towards the Bills. This is gonna be a slugfest. The team that holds up defensively last is the one that's going to win out. So,
okay.
I think it's gonna be like a key sack, or, you know, a fourth down stand, something. But I think it's going to be surprisingly close, surprisingly low scoring.
Well, this is going to be the second time they're playing each other, if I'm correct. And yeah. I believe the last time Baltimore thumped them.
Yeah. Playoffs are a different animal, as we know. Who do you say has a better secondary, the Ravens or the Bills?
I would say the Ravens have the better secondary.
That's interesting, because the Ravens defense, the Ravens secondary has not been great all year. So, I mean, we saw that. Like, you can throw on the Ravens. So if Josh Allen...
35-10. They beat them in the beginning of the season in Baltimore.
So, that was very, I mean, we didn't know what the Bills were. We didn't expect that much from them at that point. They really, like, turned it on after that.
I mean, I'm not going to make my pick now. But I would just say that I think the Ravens have more answers for what the Bills do than the Bills have answers for what the Ravens do.
Well, my one question is this. Who the hell on the Bills is going to stop Derrick Henry?
Right.
Von Miller?
No.
Matt Milano? No.
No.
Russo? No.
No.
No. Ed Oliver?
No. No.
No.
So, I mean, both teams don't have a star wide receiver. I don't actually think any teams remaining in the playoffs on the AFC side have a star wide receiver. I would say Nico Collins is probably the best wide receiver left.
Yeah. Well, no, DeAndre Hopkins. Would you say DeAndre Hopkins is a star?
Not anymore, no.
So he's just a name?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. I'll see that point.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that Josh Allen is going to have to be Superman in this game if they're going to come out on top. And the Bills have got to get a lead and force Todd Monken to have to throw more.
Right.
And Zay Flowers is not around, so Bateman's the main guy, and he can't be the main guy.
Bateman and Aguilar.
Unless you go double tight. Right? Go double tight and with Andrews and Likely.
Andrews and Likely, I mean, that's it. That's Lamar's security blanket. I mean, Zay Flowers likes to run those crosses, but Andrews and Likely are going to be the safety valves for sure. So here's the question, though. Who's going to have more rushing yards, Allen or Jackson? Because whoever has more, that's an indication that something has gone horribly wrong. Because Jimbo Cook, and I hate that they're calling him Jimbo, but hey, whatever, that apparently that's his nickname. So James Cook and Derrick Henry, they're your bell cows. They need to be the ones who get fed. But like, you do have two mobile quarterbacks here. So who has more at the end of the day? Who do you think? Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
I would say Josh Allen, just because he tends to run more. He tends to take it upon himself to be the aggressor and to, you know, try to make a broken play out of nothing. I think Lamar understands the Ravens offense a little bit more, you know, at this point in the season, where it's like, okay, we have Justice Hill, we have Derrick Henry, you know, I'm not going to try to do it all on my own, you know? So yeah. I would say Josh Allen will be the guy. In my opinion, the game comes down to Josh Allen. Is he going to be the best player on the field on Sunday night? That's what it's coming to come down to. Because for the Bills to win, he's going to have to be worldly. He's going to have to be out of his mind worldly, because there's nobody on that offense that is going to really threaten Baltimore Ravens. There's like, James Cook is good, but he's not Ray Rice. He's not Thurman Thomas. He's not Breece Hall. You know, he's good, but he's a more, I would liken him to a, he doesn't come off to me as a north-south kind of runner, running over people. And that's what you have to do in the AFC North. He's going to go sideline to sideline. And there's really nobody to throw to. I mean, Joe Brady really has to come up with a killer game plan. And I think if I was Joe Brady, my game plan would be a lot similar to what the New England Patriots did to the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to run short routes, man.
Yeah.
We're going to run outs. We're going to run screens. We're going to dump it off to both of our tight ends. We're going to run the ball on third and six. Like, we're going to play a four quarter football game. We're only going to take shots when we have to. We're not going to give an opportunity for them to bully us. That's the one thing that if Buffalo is going to win this game, you can't let them bully you, because that's what they do, man. They try to dictate pace. They try to dictate tempo, even in your house. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm going to sit and watch that entire game.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
One game that I'm not going to entirely watch is the is the college football final, which is finally set to be played January 20th. Notre Dame will face off against Ohio State. In my opinion, it's exactly what the committee was looking for. But it's number 8 Ohio State. Is number 8 Ohio State a worthy opponent for number 7 Notre Dame?
Well, it's number 8 in the tournament.
Yeah.
Number 8 in the tournament. So,
and in your heart?
Number 1 in your programs, all that. I mean, in reality, when we're looking at the overall rankings of the season, this is number 5 Notre Dame versus number 6 Ohio State. So final rankings had them 5 and 6 respectively. So at the end of the day, out of all the teams in the country, Notre Dame was was the fifth best, and Ohio State was the sixth best. So you're fine with that. You know, it's not that it was some Cinderella. If this was like SMU or something, we could totally say that Notre Dame or Ohio State, whoever, would steamroll. But this is going to be a fair matchup. I think it's going to be an even matchup. The quarterbacks don't exactly do anything to inspire me. I'm not a, you know, Riley Leonard is eh. Will Howard doesn't do anything that is jumping off the page. This game is on Ryan Day. This is all about Ryan Day exercising some demons. Even though he lost to Michigan, it is the ultimate fuck you. Yeah, I lost to you, but guess who's got the trophy this year, bitches? Like, that is what Ryan Day can hold. And you know what? This also goes out to the people who want to fire me. You can kiss my ass because I have this trophy right here.
Fuck you. You're cool.
And fuck you, I'm out. That's what it is. Like, this is job security for him. Right? And if Jim Harbaugh didn't leave for the NFL, the national championship meant job security. At least for another year. It quiets down the detractors for a little bit. I mean, Marcus Freeman's playing with house money. Nobody expected anything from Notre Dame to be at this level, right? You expect Alabama, you expect Georgia. Like, Notre Dame is good, but they're not what they once were. This isn't Newt Rockne. This isn't Wake Up the Echoes, right? This isn't Touchdown Jesus. It's been a while. It's been a fucking while since Notre Dame was that, right? And I forget who it was. I think it was either Pablo Torre or one of those around the horn fools, where it was just like, they've been laying in the weeds long enough that they've become kind of lovable and underrated. And like, it's Notre Dame. It's Notre fucking Dame. It's like saying the Yankees are lovable and underrated. Like, they're a powerhouse. They're a Goliath. Don't give me a shit. A Goliath is a Goliath is a Goliath. Always. I mean, that being said, you got two big names, right? The NCAA got two big names, got a big conference. I think they're pleased as punch. I think they're absolutely A-okay with this result. And it wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State won. It wouldn't surprise me if Notre Dame won. I think we have a pick'em here. I really think that we're going to be in for a decent game, probably the best game of the bunch. And it wouldn't surprise me if Notre Dame wins. Wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State wins. I'll take Ohio State just for the simple fact that I think Ryan Day is going to coach his ass off because he's going to want to exercise those demons. But in terms of the first 12-team playoff to get two powerhouse teams, two name teams in the finals, regardless of how you got there, regardless of the level of complaining, regardless of the fact that all the top four seeds went down after the bye, you got to be happy with the two names at the top.
No, I don't. No, not fucking interested. Don't really. This is a Midwest garbage game. This is basically...
It's Notre Dame, man. It's New York's adopted team.
These two teams survive this stupid fucking tournament format. And whatever. You won this year. You were able to navigate this terrible football round robin tree. And you're coming out the champion. So you're telling me that Ohio State, they beat Notre Dame in the national championship game. However, they lost to a shit Michigan team. Oh, Notre Dame beats Ohio State in the championship, who lost to Northern Illinois in the second game of the season. Garbage. I am actually rooting for Notre Dame because I want to see Northern Illinois partying like it's 1999. Because tell me that wouldn't be the best day of their life, watching Notre Dame win the national title after you clip them in Notre Dame in the second or third game of the season. That's just awesome. But the committee got what they wanted. I would have liked it better, like I said, if we had just the four teams that were ranked 1 through 4, and we could have gotten like a nice game with Oregon and Boise State and given those boys a chance to bring home a national title. But instead, it's the blue blood bullshit. It's like, okay, yeah, we're going to rank you 1 through 4, and then we're going to put Texas at 5, and we're going to put these big name schools in the middle. It's just like, all right, yeah, we're good. We've been good all year. We'll beat them. And it's just like, well, the reality kind of play came in, right? And then Georgia lost their quarterback, and Notre Dame, I think, is on their backup quarterback, right? I don't know, just not interested. It's an outlier year. It's something that we'll always talk about. Like, this was the first time we went to 12, and this was the shit show we got. But I will say that if Ohio State does pull it off, they're very deserving, because it's a team that really came together through the year. And Ryan Day has been an amazing coach outside of playing Michigan. His record is phenomenal. He prepares his team very well. I would be really surprised if they were to lose to Notre Dame on Monday. And I think he's done a fantastic job there, and they deserve to win for the way they've navigated this garbage.
I mean,
Basura.
It is one of those things that needs to be workshopped further, and more teams are going to go in. Unfortunately, I know that's not the answer that we're looking for, but more teams are inevitably going to be the problem, because they're going to try to eliminate or minimize that huge break. Because you probably would have preferred any of the top four teams who were consistently at the top of the rankings this country and this season in the country. So, you know, it is kind of like a little bit of a black eye that, you know, Oregon, you know, number one overall seed, didn't make it. But that's a victim of the schedule. The Carson Beck thing is definitely an issue. Like, yeah, Notre Dame, you beat who's on your schedule when they're on your schedule. So does a healthy Carson Beck make a difference? Maybe. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. We didn't get to see the game. We didn't get to see it. So, and you know what? Say what you will. You say what you will about James Franklin. Notre Dame played them. They played him up. Penn State played him straight up. Only lost by 3. So it was a close game. It was better than James Franklin's usual performances. So he may be trending in the right direction. But you figure next year you get this one out of the way. You figure Alabama's going to be back. You wonder about UNC, right? Now that you got Belichick, like, is how quick is that going to turn around, if at all, right? You're going to have another year of Texas, another year of Ohio State. How's Michigan going to rebound? How are they going to improve to get better? The field is only going to get bigger, and it's only going to get wilder. Because you also have to take into account, like, the NIL. That's not changing. So teams like Carson Beck already went to University of Miami. So we're about to enter into the NCAA hot stove here. You know, usually the hot stove free agency period is reserved for the NFL or Major League Baseball. Not anymore. College football, college basketball, they now have seats at the table for the hot stove. So we're going to see how teams navigate the free agent pool, because that's what it is. It's the free agent pool. And we're going to see how they get better. We got one more game to go this season. Strap in. It's going to be a good one. And I think that it's going to be even better for the Buckeyes.
can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. PopStar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. PopStars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. PopStars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, PopStars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, PopStars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, Justin Herbert is less than or equal to Trevor Lawrence.
Yikes. Yikes. You know, someone brought this up to me, and I was like, oh, man. Let's put it this way. He is 0-5 in the playoffs. He's only four games above 500. Yeah, I don't know, Z. I mean, I'm a Herbert fan, and I love the way he throws the football, but this game this past weekend was awful. Missing guys, pick sixes. He threw more touchdowns this weekend than he did all season. I am going to say fair, and it kills me to say this, but I'm going to say fair.
Well,
before you answer, is there any part of Jim Harbaugh that after this weekend's game is thinking about, like, what did I get myself into?
Like, maybe, you think, maybe a
do
little
you think
bit.
There's a part of him that's like, could we trade for J.J. McCarthy straight up? Because I don't really need this. Like, he wants to run a more balanced offense anyway. To me, Herbert's a thrower, right? But
yes,
he would prefer to have the scrambler, thrower, hander offer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I feel like he might have been looking at this game like, shit, man.
Justin Herbert to the Giants for the number three pick. Would you do it?
If I'm the Chargers?
From either perspective. If you're the Chargers, would you consider it?
If I'm the Chargers,
if you knew you could get McCarthy.
No. No, if I'm the Chargers... Oh, if I... You're saying that I could still call Minnesota and get McCarthy?
Yeah. If you could still... If you could even flip that pick to Minnesota... Like a hypothetical three-team trade, essentially.
So you're telling me I'm going to trade for the number three... I'm going to trade... Herbert to the Giants, get the three, then trade the three for McCarthy.
Yes.
Yeah, I would. If I'm Jim Harbaugh, yeah. Because I don't need that. I don't need what
happened this past weekend. I need a guy that can run the offense. Scramble, like, think about Kaepernick. Think about Alex Smith. None of those guys were, like, throwers. Like, Justin Herbert, to me, is a thrower. He's a thrower, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and be honest with you, I could trade Justin Herbert. I can bring in JJ. And even if we have a bad year, next year is the quarterback draft. So I could still get, I could still move up. I could still get a better quarterback if I feel JJ is not even doing it for me.
So it's tough because statistically he's better than Trevor Lawrence. He is. But when you look at
the same amount of the, actually,
when you look at it,
actually, wait a minute. He blew the 27 point lead against the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence's only playoff win is against Justin Herbert,
which we called. But every offensive category, every single offensive statistics, except for rushing yards and rushing touchdowns, everything favors Justin Herbert. Because to your point, like, he's a passer. Trevor Lawrence is a mobile quarterback. He scrambles. Like, he's got other weapons in his arsenal. So I gotta say it's a fair statement, just based on the simple fact of the breadth of work. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has missed 19 games compared to Justin Herbert, so, you know, it's a difference of 19 games. They're not that far apart. You know, completion percentage, Justin Herbert's 4 points higher. Yards per attempt, Justin Herbert 7.2 to 6.8 for Trevor Lawrence. Yards per game, a difference of 30. So, I mean, it's very close. I would say it's more like the equal to than the less than. But I'd say they're more comparable. But to the same point, let's extend this a little bit farther. Daniel Jones is statistically better than Trevor Lawrence. So would we then do like a little compound jobby? Would you say, I mean, because that seems a little nuts, right? Like, we're saying that these guys are like equals, but Daniel Jones is so much worse than everybody, but he's not statistically, he's about on par with Trevor Lawrence. So what the fuck are we actually talking about here? Like, I'm confused by what I just said, and I just said it. So, is Daniel Jones ass or not? I couldn't even tell you, because we don't think Trevor Lawrence is ass. We don't think Justin Herbert is ass.
Well, hold on. There's a lot of people that disagree, Z. There are a lot of people that think Trevor Lawrence is ass.
So he,
and there's
he's
a
cheap.
Lot of people that are trying, that are starting to think Justin Herbert is ass. Think about his division record's awful.
It's bad.
He can't beat the Chiefs.
Well, I mean, lots of people have trouble beating the Chiefs.
Even Aiden O'Connell beats the fucking Chiefs.
That's true. And he almost beat the Chiefs again if it wasn't for their best player, the refs.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, he was saddled with Brandon Staley, right? Kellen Moore was there as his OC, I believe. They haven't been doing him any favors in the coaching department. So it's one of those things that another year under Harbaugh, maturing in the system, maybe it'll do him some good. But, you know, we talked about lots of guys who get paid like the guy. They get paid to be the guy and are not the guy. We mentioned that last week about Trevor Lawrence. Like, Justin Herbert may very well fall into that group. Like, you think he's the guy, he gets paid like the guy, but he's not. So we're eventually going to see. But it's the way it's playing out, the answer is resoundingly no, he's not the guy. He's just very well paid. So he's got to figure that part out. But he certainly picked the hell of a time to have the worst game of the season. He threw as many picks. He threw more picks in that game than he did all of the regular season.
Wild.
Hell of a time. Hell of a time to have your worst game. That's a 1.0 Darnold. He went full Sam. You never want to go full Sam. Never want to go full Sam. Fair or foul? Number two, Deion Sanders should be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, it goes in line with the circus that's going on there. But Jerry's not going to hire someone with a bigger name than him. You know, I found out recently that after Cowboy games, Jerry Jones has his press conference at the same time that Mike McCarthy has his press conference. So reporters have to choose if they're going to go listen to Mike McCarthy or they're going to go listen to Jerry Jones. 95% of the people go listen to Jerry Jones. If Deion's there, that's not going to happen. So I would say foul. I would see him going with a lesser named person, someone not as popular as he is.
Kellen Moore, you are the next head coach of the Dallas.
He had that chance. He had that also the Ben Johnson chance. Yeah. You know,
he had Johnson. He had Kellen Moore. He had Mike McCarthy, and he had Dan Quinn. Like, everybody was in that building at once.
Like, the last big name he had was what? Like, Bill Parcells. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is like, everyone's getting down on this whole Mike McCarthy thing. You know what? He was there for 5 years. Like, what's wrong with the fact that Mike McCarthy worked his contract all the way through?
Well,
he had a 5-year contract. He went through the whole contract. Whatever. Like, he won one playoff game in 5 years. He was 1-3. Yeah, they were good, but like, whatever. Like, thanks, Mike. It was fun, but we didn't win.
And three
didn't make us better. So
three of those years, he went 12-5, something like that.
Yeah, he did.
So
yeah.
He was successful. In most markets, in most teams, on most teams, with most fan bases, you consider that successful. Like, now the Steelers, no, not necessarily, because that's what they're dealing with right now with Mike Tomlin, right? Doing, you know, regular season excellence, but stinking the joint out in the playoffs, right? For a team as delusional and a fan base as delusional as the Dallas Cowboys, somehow this is a failure. No, it's actually not a failure. It's a failure on Jerry Jones to subjugate his own ego. It's a failure on Jerry Jones to not hire a team president and GM. Somebody who is going to think about his best interest, not Jerry Jones's ego's best interest. But the word should. It's glitz, it's glamour, it's the star, and Deion was a star for that team. Should, yes, will, no. I think that Deion ends up in Vegas. I got a feeling that he ends up in Vegas, because that's glitz, that's glamour, that is big time. I think that it would just be, Mark Davis tends to be a little less in front of the cameras, right? He fucks up his team behind the scenes, but he works on doing that. Like Tom Telesco, we hardly knew you. Like, what the hell is going on? So I think that's going to be more the route that the Raiders are going to go and that Deion's going to end up with. I don't necessarily know if the whole Deion Shador thing, I don't know if it's a package. So I don't know what the hell is going on there. I don't know how one affects the other. But I got to say that this is, based on the word should, it's fair. But it ain't gonna happen, because like you said, Jerry is the star of the show, and only Jerry is the star of the show. Fair or foul number three, Justin Verlander signing with the San Francisco Giants.
It just seems like it's coming to an ugly end for him. I mean, he's from what I've heard, he's trying to really train hard this offseason,
or as he gets ramped up for pitchers and catchers, which are reporting in 30 days. But yeah, I think it's a sad end. I don't think he's going to have the final season that he thinks he's going to have. I mean, that's a really tough division. I mean, you're going to have to pitch against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You have to pitch against the Padres. Like, these are teams that are stacked, dude. It's not like you're in the National League, the National League Central, man. So I'm safe foul.
I'm going to say foul too. I would have thought he would have ended back with the Tigers. I don't know. I would have thought 1 year deal, come full circle, and then go out in the sunset. Like, that's what I thought was going to happen. But as it turns out, that is not the case. The good thing with this situation is that he's falling in behind Logan Webb. So most likely he's going to end up being a three or four on that, because you have Kyle Harrison. You have a couple of other pitchers out there that can do the job. But his body's breaking down. Like, go back to when he was with the Mets. Like, he had the teres major injury. Like, he had an armpit injury. And that totally derailed his season. Ultimately, it got him traded. It got him traded to Houston. So it feels very much like Joe Namath on the Rams. Like, it feels like the end. It feels like the end for a lot of guys in weird uniforms, right? When Mike Piazza ended up with the Padres and the A's. When Hideki Matsui ended up with the A's. When Frank Thomas ended up with the A's. Apparently, it's just with the A's. Apparently, if you end up with the A's, that's where, you end up in the Bay Area. Apparently, that's an issue. So, yeah, it's a sad way to go out, because it's just been a steady, steady decline. And he's going to a mediocre team who's probably going to be fourth best in that division. And you said it already. He's going to have to try and figure out how to get the Dodger lineup out. Good luck. Good luck navigating that on diminished stuff, right? You're not the 26-year-old who can throw 96 in the seventh inning anymore. If you're willing, if you're able to reinvent yourself on grit and guile, sure. If you're able to, change the way you pitch, like CC Sabathia did at the end of his career, he didn't have 98 anymore. He figured out how to do it.
I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy. You're doing one thing your whole career and accepting the challenge to change.
And he did it. And he did it with aplomb. So we're also going to find out if he gets nominated for the Hall of Fame too. So that's the thing. Let's not lose sight of the fact that Justin Verlander will be in the Hall of Fame. No, he's not going to reach 300. But he's had a stellar career. It's definitely fallen off. But I don't see this ending well for him in San Francisco. But who's to say he doesn't get that storybook ending that we were talking about? Who's to say he doesn't end up back with the Tigers at some point and finish out his career there and just help that young rotation behind Skubal and help that team get its way into the playoffs again and progress forward and get a little bit farther than they did last year, right? You're going back to move forward. And I think that Justin Verlander, I just got that feeling he's going to end up back there. But this is going to be a foul, foul way to get there.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the fadestorewithdnz.com. That's the fadestorewithdnz.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote and vote and vote and vote. And the winner of that poll gets a shout out on this year's show and takes home the coveted, coveted ass trophy. And you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I know.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, my guy.
Sam Darnold narrowly beat out the New England Patriots. So there's that. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got my man, Sam Darnold again.
He's back.
Quarterback in the Minnesota Vikings. Dude, you can't take 9 sacks and you can't run in the wrong direction during a playoff game.
Bruh.
Throw the ball away.
Bruh.
Sam Darnold, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, Baker Mayfield. Quarterback, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 15 of 18, 185 yards, 2 tutties, and an L. Jaden Daniels came into your house and beat you. 268 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 24 for 35. Baker Mayfield, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number 3, Justin Herbert, quarterback, LA Chargers. 3 interceptions all year, but then you had 4. On Saturday against a shit Texans team in the playoffs, and you just cannot throw touchdowns to the other team. You are now 0-5 in the playoffs, and you are only 4 games over 500 as a starter. Justin Herbert, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, what more can you say about guys like Justin Herbert? Shit the bed, right? What more can you say about a guy like Baker Mayfield? Not great. Sam Darnold, shit the bed. Another player shit the bed too. And it was Jordan Love. I'm going to start with him. 20 of 33, 212. Peripherally, that doesn't look bad, right? No tutties. 3 picks. Thanks for coming, Mr. Love. Jordan Love, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, the Steelers defense. Proud bunch, really? And frankly, rightfully so. You got torched on the ground for 299 yards. Yes, those are rushing yards, kids. That is not through the air. That is on the ground. You got straight up steamrolled. You're a proud bunch, I understand. But TJ Watt, you got to do something, man. You cannot not show up. Patrick Queen, what are you doing? Cam Hayward, I know, got hurt. So at least, you know, Cam Hayward has a valid reason as to what the hell's going on. Steeler defense, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, the Denver Broncos. Ooh! March down the field on your opening drive, 7-0. All right, we got a game here. It's awesome. Yeah. 31-7 Buffalo. The only chance you had was that field goal attempt at the half. And clang. That was it, and that was all. Later, we found out that Bo Nix is apparently playing through back fractures. And this is normal for players to play through back fractures. Anytime you hear my quarterback has a fractured back, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not considering that normal. But considering the alternative of having Zach Wilson play in a playoff game, yeah, give me the guy with the broken back. My back is broken. Spinal. You got spinal tapped. Straight up tapped out by the Buffalo Bills. Denver Broncos, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.